Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter number 3. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be not be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let's pray. Father, would you help us tonight as we look into your word? I pray that these next few moments as we seek to learn something from this portion of Scripture, I pray your Holy Spirit would help us. I pray that you'd be pleased and glorified. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to, if you mark in your Bible or take notes, I want you to look how many times faith is used in Galatians chapter number 3. We find in verse number 2, the Bible says, hearing of faith. Question there, faith in verse 2. We find the same in verse 5, hearing of faith. In verse number 7, you find again, are of faith. In verse number 8, mark through faith. In verse number 9, we see the word faith again, or be of faith. In verse number 11, the Bible says the end there, live by faith. In verse number 12, and the law is not of faith. Look in verse number 14, mark there, through faith. If you look with me in verse number 22 of this chapter, the Bible says by faith. In verse number 23, unto the faith. In verse number 24, justified by faith. In verse number 25, after the faith. In verse 26, again we find by faith. And Paul is talking and discussing this matter of faith here in Galatians chapter number 3. Now, the last several weeks, we've looked at the first couple chapters of Galatians, and we have found that Paul is teaching and preaching and identifying an area here in the church here that they have strayed from. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith. You receive him by faith. And somehow, there was a false doctrine that came in that was being taught by, it's not just by faith, but it's also works. You have to do something where we by faith, but also we do something by works. And Paul is confronting them and dealing with them, and he spent two chapters identifying that there was a problem. He uses some very bold words. He says, O foolish Galatians. And he uses this word bewitched, or who has come in and just caused such confusion. And how could you, knowing the truth, be fooled? Is what he's asking them in Galatians chapter 3. He's saying, what I've taught you and what you knew to be truth, somehow you've allowed someone to come in and teach you something that is false. And Paul is very stern and very bold as he begins to address them here in chapter number 3. And I want us to, this evening, I want to just point some things out tonight and think about this topic of faith. And then I want to just give us a few points here and be dismissed here this evening. In verse number 1, he gives us a very severe reproof for having been so easily seduced. It was strange that after such a clear understanding of the gospel, that this group of believers could go astray. Now, I think it's important for us to just really think about that. The Bible tells us that in the last days, there's going to be some that are falling away from the faith, and there's also going to be some that will be taught doctrinal errors and heresy and going to be believing those types of things.
Here we find that this is not just something that's going to happen in the last days, but Paul dealt with doctrine and false doctrine being taught in the church back when he was alive and as an apostle. And Paul is saying, what you so clearly once understood, how can you believe something so false now? He not only, though, lays out this rebuke. What I think is important for us to see here that Paul not only says you're wrong and I can't believe that you've erred here, he attempts then to set them straight once again and reviews with them that it requires faith to be saved, not works. Religion says you have to do something for your salvation. Religion might even say you've got to do something to keep it. Paul is laying out a case that it's by faith that we're saved in Jesus Christ, not of our works or not of what we can do, but it's simply by faith in Christ. And he says that, and we'll review that here this evening. In verse number 2, down through verse number 5, he is appealing to them to show them that the great benefits which they had received had not come by the consequences or the observances of the law, but it came by simply faith. And I want to see that again. The Bible says, this only would I learn of you. He's saying, all I want to know, the only question I have for you is this. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? By the hearing of faith. He says, I've got one question for you. Did you get saved because the Holy Spirit of God received by the works of the law? Or did you get saved because you heard the gospel and by faith trusted in Jesus Christ? It caused them to pause for a moment. We don't get saved by works. We didn't get saved because of the law. What we got saved, we were saved, we're born again by our faith in Jesus Christ. And so he's bringing that to their attention. He says this in verse number 3, are you so foolish? So he points out, how did you get saved? Did you keep the law so therefore you're saved? Or did you by faith trust Christ? And he goes right into, are ye so foolish? A question. Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? He says, you got saved. You got saved because of the Spirit. You got saved because of your faith in Christ. Now are you going to think that there's more to it? Are you going to live by the flesh? Are you going to believe that there's more to it than faith in Christ? Or are you going to now believe that someone is telling you that there's something fleshly you must do? He says in verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you, the Spirit that worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He is pointing out to the church here, to the believers here, how did you get saved? Did it require works? Or is it by faith? And he wants them to come to this realization because he's addressing the problem that somebody is teaching you there's more to salvation than faith in Christ. In verse number 6 through 9 here, we find here an illustration of the doctrine of justification. The word justification, I know that's a large word. Maybe somebody says, what is justification? A great way to remember justification is just as if I've never sinned. Justification. Now, how are we justified? If God sees us, how are we justified? If we try to keep the law? Because the reality is we can't keep the law. And so Paul is going to use these next several verses here to talk about Abraham and in that the faith that Abraham had, and it wasn't by the law, but by faith. And so he's asking this question, and we can look at justification. When God sees us, how are we justified? By keeping the law. The reality is this, every one of us break the law. We can't keep the law. So therefore, if it was based on us keeping the law, we could never be justified. But God sees us, and justification is possible. He sees us just as if we've never sinned because of our faith in Christ. No longer does he see us trying to keep the law. No longer does he see us, our sin. What he sees is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so what Paul is saying, if there's something more to salvation, then what you're adding is law, is keeping up with the law. You can't keep the law, and so you can't be justified. The only way a person could be justified is when God sees them, he sees the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see me in my sin, he sees Jesus Christ. And that is vitally important here because he is trying to get them to understand salvation by faith. I want us to see in verse number 10 through verse number 14. He says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." We see faith again. In verse number 12, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us." See that here? "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Paul is dealing with Gentiles here. The issue specifically here is that someone is teaching the Gentiles here that in order to be saved, you've got to trust Christ and be circumcised. Paul spent a couple chapters ago here in saying, "I took Titus," and that was not required of him when we went to Jerusalem. And he was teaching them and instructing them that is not true, that the apostles in Jerusalem are not teaching that, that whoever is teaching that is wrong. And he's coming back again saying once again that we have that blessing that was promised to Abraham, not because we kept the law, because the law was after Abraham. How did Abraham receive it? By faith. How do we receive salvation? By faith. Jesus Christ, he says here, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." All the work that was required for salvation was done by Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross, he became that curse. He became sin for us so that we have to do nothing but put our faith in him. There's nothing required of us to work our way. If we had to work our way to salvation, then what they're saying then is that what Jesus did on the cross was not sufficient enough to be the payment of my sin. As Paul is nailing that back home there in church, this is a very important doctrine. This is very important through this study in Galatians about being redeemed and being justified and in adding nothing. There's no way that I can do anything to earn my salvation because Jesus did everything. It's important for us to see this. In verse number 15, we find this, 15 through 18, and here in this portion of Scripture, "Brother and I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He said not, and to the seeds of the many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." See, the promise to Abraham was made before the giving of the law. That's important for Paul to be showing that to them. He's saying Abraham didn't keep the law, but it was by faith. In verse number 21, skip a little bit here. In verse number 20, "Is the law then against the promise of God?" He says, "God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, for what reason? To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." The law was there to bring us to the place where we realized we needed Jesus Christ. The law was there to remind me that I can't keep the law. The law was there to remind you that you needed a Savior. The law was there to show them that no matter how much they tried, no matter how much they attempted, they could not keep the law. Therefore, if it was solely based upon us being saved, it was based upon us doing good works or keeping the law, there was no way for us to be saved. Because if I break one of them, I've trespassed against all the laws. So he's saying here, it is not by us keeping the law, because we can't. The law was there to show us that we can't. The law is there to show us that we needed Christ. The law was to reveal to us, the schoolmaster, our teacher, to bring us unto Christ. And look with me in verse number 24, that we might be justified by faith. That faith is in Jesus Christ. All those that come to Jesus by faith in what He did on the cross becomes a child of God. There's no way to be redeemed back to God. There's no way to be a child of God unless you go by faith. I've heard this said before. We're all God's children. The reality is this: we're not all God's children. We might be all created by God, but we're not all God's children. The only way for us to be a child of God is to be redeemed to God through faith, through Jesus Christ. A lot of people think that, you might ask that question, how do you know you're going to get to heaven? How do you know you're saved? Anybody ever ask somebody that? How do you know you're saved? If you were to die today, how do you know you would spend... And a lot of people have answers like, well, you know, I don't know, but I'm trying. I'm trying to do good. And why I want to point this out here in Galatians chapter 3, why I believe this is important is because we need to be able to show somebody firmly in the Word of God how to be saved. And when someone says to you, you know, I do a lot of good works, we can bring them to Galatians chapter 3 and say, good works doesn't save you. Well, I'm a religious person, or I've done this, or I've given this, or I've gone here. None of those things matter. What Paul is showing the church here is none of those things matter. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much good you try, no matter what you attempt to do, none of it is sufficient except Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. There's nothing added to salvation. I was in Montreal several years ago. I went to this facility here, and it was about 100 or so steps from the base up to the top of the mountain here to go inside of this building. And I saw a plaque, and the plaque said, please, visitors and guests, please use the concrete steps for walking up, and allow the middle steps, the wooden steps, to be used for those on their pilgrimage. And I began to walk up the steps, and as I was walking up the steps, I noticed several people, they would take on their hands and knees, crawling up these steps, these wooden steps. They'd crawl up and they'd stop and they'd pray. They'd crawl up another one, they'd stop and they'd pray. They'd crawl up another one, they'd stop and they'd pray. The entire time up these steps. And I'm telling you, 100 or so steps. And every step they'd crawl, they'd hands and knees and come to a step and they'd pray. Come to a step and they'd pray. And as I watched that taking place and I watched that happen, I thought to myself how grieved in my heart I became. They were so sincere. They wanted so badly to show how much they wanted God. But someone told them that there was something other than Jesus Christ, that there was this pilgrimage that had to be taken, this pain that you had to add, these steps that had to be going up on your hands and knees. And by the time they got up there, I mean, their hands and their knees were just raw from getting up there. To go into a place, and inside of this place, there were candles everywhere, and for $5, you could light a candle and say a prayer for somebody, hoping they'd get to heaven. As I walked through there, I just thought to myself, how sad. Religion. Religion says there's something you have to do. Religion says there's more that needs to be added. Religion, it complicates salvation to say there's got to be something you must add. When Paul is saying this, the work was done by Jesus Christ on the cross. All the agony was done on the cross. All the pain took place on the cross. The curse, it went to the cross. Everything that Jesus did on the cross, that was sufficient enough. Nothing more needed to be saved. Nothing more. Now, we'll continue to look, but I want to leave you with some thoughts. What can we apply here? I understand I'm speaking to a Wednesday night crowd. The majority, if not all here, would be grounded in faithful in church. And so what I'm saying, you're saying, we believe it. I know it. I've been taught that. I want to give us some thoughts here this evening. Paul said, O foolish Galatians, in verse 1, who's bewitched you? Who's betrayed you? And it's not just the one that's betrayed them. He says that ye, that you, that you should not obey the truth. You know what I believe here? As I read through Galatians chapter number 3, I believe it's important for every single one of us to understand this. It's important to know why you believe what you believe. If you can't show in Scripture why you believe what you believe, you may fall for false teaching. You know, one of my responsibilities as a dad, I want my children to have faith in Christ, not faith in what I'm teaching them. Because one day they're going to be challenged with their faith. One day you may be challenged with your faith. And we need to know what we believe, and we need to know in Scripture why we believe it, so that if the challenge is ever there, we can always go back to Scripture and we can say, this is why I believe what I believe. Not because I heard a message one day and just because it was preached. Not because I read it in a book outside the Word of God. Not because my parents taught it to me. I know it. I believe it. I'm grounded in it because in the Scripture, I know why I believe what I believe. What Paul was showing them, it's important. It's important, church member, to know what you believe, and it's important for you to know why you believe it and where you believe it. So that if somebody comes in and begins to teach you that you can be justified some other way besides Christ and what He did on the cross and by faith and trusting in Him, that you can firmly stand and say, no, I'm not going to believe that false doctrine. I'm not going to believe that lie. I'm not going to believe that false teaching. I know better, not because I've heard it, because I know it in the Word of God, and I can show why I believe what I believe. The New Testament, it warns us often of false teachers. And it warns us often of those that come in to teach false doctrine. Doctrine is essentially important. And the doctrine of salvation, that's our foundation. That's our cornerstone of believing what we believe. And so Paul is showing us, and in all throughout the New Testament, we find warnings of false teachers coming in. And he's asking, how could you be so foolish? How could you believe something so false? And the reason why I believe is this: they heard it, they heard Paul say it, but they weren't grounded in it. It's good to know what you believe. But it will save you from potential error. It will save you from potential false doctrine if you know why you believe what you believe. Paul was teaching them. Paul had taught them, and they believed that salvation was through Jesus Christ. And now he's coming to chapter number 3, and he's saying this: you know it. I've taught you it. Now you need to know why you know it and why you believe it. You need to understand that he talks about Abraham, that Abraham had salvation because of faith. There was no law that Abraham had to keep. He was looking forward. He was believing by faith of the promise of God. He was teaching now. He says specifically the law is just a schoolmaster. He's saying it is our school teacher. It's teaching us that we can't save ourselves, that we can't be good enough. It's not there for us to keep it, thinking if we keep it, we can be saved. It's there to show us we can't be saved. It's only through Christ. And he gets in depth. Why are we saved by faith and not the law? Many in here maybe have children. I would say to you, don't rely on somebody else to teach your children the doctrine of the Word of God. It is your responsibility as a parent to show them and teach them. The last thing I want my son one day to do is say, I believe it because that's what Dad told me. You say, well, that's a good thing. He's listening to his dad. That's not enough. That's not enough when false teachers come and attacks come. He needs to know, this is why I believe it. This is why in the Word of God that I'm saved by faith, that there's nothing more, nothing less. This is why I believe what I've been taught growing up in church. It's true because he knows it, and he can show in the Bible why he believes what he believes. You know, I'm afraid sometimes, Christian parents, that we just assume that our kids at times are going to get it. The most important thing we could teach our families is the Word of God. It's the most important thing. I had a wonderful time last night. I watched my daughter play volleyball. She loves it. My couple of the younger ones, they played soccer this year. They loved it. I mean, loved it. They're all talking about playing basketball. I don't know how two people are going to be in five different directions, but we're going to guess have to figure that out. But they're all excited about it. My kids are working on projects and doing homework and talking about and doing things that normal kids do. And I'm telling you, we're excited about it. But I need to realize this: the most important thing I can do with my children, the most important time spent with my children, is being sure they understand why they believe the Word of God. That's the most important thing we can do with our children. We need to show them and teach them in the Word of God so that they one day as adults can stand when the attacks come and when the false doctrine comes and when the false teachers come. They're not going to be swayed. They're going to say, that's not that I'm trying to remember what my Sunday school teacher told me or my school teacher told me or what my parents told me or what the youth pastor told me or what the preacher told me. What they can do is open the Word of God for themselves and say, this is why I believe what I believe. This is why I stand upon Jesus Christ. You know, the attack is so great in our country and around this world that even mentioning or praying or mentioning Christ is just not allowed. And our kids are going to have to stand in this culture. And we need to be sure that they know why they stand upon what they stand. One area we can always do better in is teach why we believe what we believe. Paul's asking, did the Holy Spirit convict you of the need of salvation, or did you receive your salvation through the law? I think that's a great question to ask. Did you earn it, or did it come by faith? And lastly, my time is done. Lastly, I want to mention this. The Christian life is lived by faith. Paul is showing this. I don't have time to develop this whole thought, but I want you to study this through maybe this week sometime and look how many times faith is mentioned. It was faith that saved us, and it's faith that we need that's required for us to continue to walk that Christian life. Not so that we get saved again, once saved, always saved, but that level of faith, it's faith in Christ that saves us, and it's faith in Christ that also is what we need to live by. Faith is not just a one-time act, it's a lifestyle of every Christian. Bible says the just shall live by faith. Yes, it took faith to be saved, and it takes faith every day of my life to live the victorious Christian life. In verse number 12, the Bible says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Living by the law, it requires no faith. And that's why we see that it's nothing more added to the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's living by faith because the law requires no faith. All I do is what the law says. There's no faith needed there. If the law says to do this, I do this. If the law says to do that, I do that. But in order for me to live the Christian life, I've got to live it by faith. My question tonight, church, would be this. This area of faith. Living by faith. What are you doing right now in your life that requires you to have faith? If you're saved tonight, it required faith to be saved. But we realize this, that after we're saved, now the faith required to be saved, we don't have to visit that again, we're already saved, but the faith to live that victorious Christian life, that faith needed, what right now are you doing in your life that's requiring you to live by faith? I think this is a lot of times where Christians stop growing. I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, and wonderful, and now I don't have to deal with anything else. I know I'm saved. I'm sure I'm going to heaven. Yes, that's a wonderful thing, but what now are you doing that is requiring faith? I think it's a fair question every Christian ought to ask. You know, lack of faith, it limits a nothing is impossible God. Do you believe that, God? Nothing is impossible with God? Then we ought to have the faith to live that. Nothing is impossible, God. In verse number 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. You know, there's nothing, no part of your life, there's no part of a Christian life that's lived that's outside of faith. Every part of our life as a Christian ought to be lived in faith. Every day of our life, our faith ought to be increasing. Every day of our life, our faith ought to be challenged. Every day of our life, we ought to be growing in our faith, expecting God to do more. That faith, all throughout Galatians chapter 3, we find faith. You know, Jesus said to his disciples about faith. He said this, quit your jobs and follow me. That takes faith, doesn't it? He said to his disciples, leave your families and follow me. That takes faith, doesn't it? He said to his disciples, leave your comforts and follow me. Sell your possessions and follow me. He said, die to your wants and follow me. Lose your life and follow me. He said to his disciples about faith, follow me. The question tonight as we see Galatians chapter 3, faith is in Christ. Are you saved by faith? Are you doing anything outside of faith to attempt salvation? If so, you may be sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. Salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. And then, Christian, if you are saved by faith, what are you doing by faith in your life? What right now are you doing that's requiring a level of faith? Because once you're saved by faith, we are to live by faith. And living here by faith, again, all through Galatians chapter 3, by faith, through faith, by faith, through faith, justified by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Faith is needed to be saved, and faith in God is needed to live that victorious Christian life. What, Christian, are you doing now that's requiring a level of faith?